The views and opinions expressed on the Ripley 304 podcast are those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions of the City of Ripley or any other agency or organization.
Welcome to the Ripley 304 podcast. We're back after a summer break. Okay, summer, maybe half the fall, but we are back. And we have an interesting episode about the Veterans Day Parade coming up. And Doug Skeen is going to talk to us about happenings that occurred during the Civil War in and around Ripley area. Also, Mayor Rader will speak to us about an upcoming special event after the Ravenswood-Ripley Hatchet game Friday night. So let's get started. I'm joined by Doug Skeens. He works for the City of Ripley, and we're going to talk about some Civil War history around Ripley and Jackson County. Doug, I'm glad you joined us here at Ripley 304 Podcast.
Well, thanks for having me, John. It's always great to talk about my hometown of Ripley.
And how did you get into the history, and what's your title here for the City of Ripley?
My job title is Project Planner and Information Specialist. I have been a student of history my whole life. I have a bachelor's degree in history. I've written for the local newspapers since the late 80s on and off, and I've done a lot of historical articles.
And since you live in Ripley, you're fascinated by Ripley history like everybody is around here.
Yes, Ripley, a very interesting history from the early days, the pioneer days, up through the growth of the town to where it was incorporated in 1852. We were chartered in 1832, but we actually were incorporated in 1852, and we had our first mayor and council at that time. One of the things I was going to talk about here today was the outset of the Civil War and Ripley's role in the Civil War. When the conflict broke out in 1861, the Confederate Army believed that the Ripley Road, which is present-day Route 21, from Parkersburg to Charleston, that had to be held. That was their original belief. And in late June of 1861, 1,200 Confederate soldiers were dispatched to Ripley, and they were comprised of the Richmond Light Infantry Blues, pretty much students there at the University of Richmond. They were under the command of former Virginia Governor Henry Wise, and they were known as the Wise Legion. And one of the captains of the Wise Legion was Captain George Patton, the grandfather of George S. Patton of World War II fame. These Confederates, upon arriving in Ripley, were extremely well received. They camped in the middle of town. There's letters that exist to this day which describe the town at that time. The Confederates enjoyed baths in Mill Creek during the day. There were three local militia companies muster into the Confederate Army that week alone in Ripley. Again, this was in late June of 1861.
So getting back to Patton for a second, the grandfather of the World War II hero, and did he also have a house in Charleston? Or?
Yes, he did, the west side of Charleston.
Okay.
And he was an attorney.
So the grandfather was.
Yeah.
And the highways you were talking about, the is that part of the Blue-Gray Highway, or is that a different section?
I believe it is, John.
Okay.
The Confederates, while they were here, Governor Wise wrote daily letters and dispatches back to Charleston. There was a large Confederate encampment near what is now Orchard Manor. It was called Camp 2 Mile. And these letters are very interesting to read. There was a book written by Terry Lowry called The Battle of Scary Creek. It's available at the Jackson County Library. for loan. Mr. Lowry passed away a couple years ago, but he did a remarkable job on this book. And three chapters of it deal exclusively with the Civil War activities there in Ripley and Jackson County. The Confederates, on July the 3rd, had received orders to leave Ripley and march back to Camp 2 Mile in Charleston. And so they marched and made it to what is a farm called Scofford. It's believed to be on Grass Lick, that that's as far as they'd made it. And so overnight, and in the wee morning hours of July the 4th, 1861, a force of about 1,700 Union soldiers arrived at Millwood by a sternwheeler from Gallipolis. And they were under the command of Colonel J.D. Cox. And they advanced all night on a march to Ripley, arriving in the early morning hours of July the 4th. And they ransacked the town and knocked out storefront windows, stole supplies. And so July 4th, 1861 began with a bang in Ripley.
So July 4th wasn't always a good day in Ripley.
No, it wasn't. Not that year. And the Confederates, these were mostly Ohio soldiers that did this, but they were acting on orders from General George McClellan, the commander of the Union Army. And one of his communiques and dispatches explicitly tells Colonel Cox to punish Ripley if you can. And so that's what they set out to do, and they did. So word finally reached the Confederates when they were camped at Grass Lick, and they immediately began a march back to Ripley. And so one of the early battles of the Civil War could have been fought in Ripley, but due to a quirk of history, it didn't happen. The 1,700 Union soldiers marched back to Ravenswood, and the Confederates made it all the way to Conrad Hill at Cottageville. And there they were engaged by a force of about 70 Union Home Guard Cottageville militia. The 1,200 Confederates lined up in formation with their muskets pointing and rifles pointing toward the Cottageville Home Guard. And those guys laid their guns down and ran all the way to the river, according to one of the local memoirs. But interesting that some of the early diversionary tactics that happened in the war took place here in Ripley.
Well, so the Union just hightailed it out.
Yeah, they went back to Ravenswood after they came to Ripley, didn't find the Confederate forces, and left the area. Now, the battle that almost took place in Ripley on July the 4th, 1861, would take place on July the 17th in Putnam County at the mouth of Scary Creek, which is just off of Route 60 and U.S. 35. And the Battle of Scary Creek, it's known. It's one of the first early land battles of the Civil War, but it almost happened in Ripley.
So the same two forces were the same ones that almost happened in Ripley?
Yes.
And they battled in Putnam County?
Yes, they did.
Well, that's fascinating. So the book you said, that's the Jackson County Library. It's by Terry Lowry, and people can check that out, called The Battle of Scary Creek. And it has a lot of Ripley connections.
Yes, it's an excellent read. And it's interesting to note that when the Kanawha Valley was invaded, the Confederate thinking of defending the Ripley Road was correct, because it was one of the main invasion routes when the Kanawha Valley was finally invaded by the Union Army.
Well, thank you, Doug, and we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back to wrap things up with Doug about Jackson County history and Ripley history with the Civil War. I'll be back with more of Doug's interview. But if you would like to contact the Ripley 304 podcast, you can by emailing us at ripley304@gmail.com, ripley304@gmail.com, or search the Facebook page Ripley304. We're back with Doug Skeen, and we're going to talk about Jenkins Raid on the post office, where the Confederates took some precious cargo from the Union.
Actually, John, the amount of the payroll that was seized was $5,525. And 2 days later, Jenkins' men would cross into Ohio and plant the Confederate flag in the Union state for the first time ever.
So let's go back to the beginning there about Jenkins. Who was he, and how did his crew get into this area?
They began the march in Monroe County, and he was a Confederate general, and he was under the command of General Loring. And so it was determined that they needed to strike back, mount an offensive into Union territory, and Jenkins and his force of 550 men were very successful in their historic raid.
And that was in August of?
Began in August of 1862 and ended in September, early September 1862.
So that was the post office here in Ripley?
Yes.
So also, what has happened in Ripley regarding that?
Well, a year later, there was an interesting incident in Ripley, and the Jackson County Sheriff, George S.M. King, it was in 1863, he'd been elected sheriff in 1862, and he was also a captain in a local Home Guard militia, and a special battalion of Confederates were dispatched from Richmond to Ripley for the express purpose of capturing Sheriff King. And elections had been held statewide in May of 1863, and new statehood was declared in June 20th of 1863. When the Confederates arrived in Ripley, they found Sheriff King in Edward McGuire's drugstore. King was then told he was a prisoner of war. He had asked his captors to permit him to stop by his home and inform his wife what had happened to him. And this story I'm recounting to you was published in the Jackson Herald in 1950, in the April 28th issue of the Herald that year. So getting back to Sheriff King, he'd asked his Confederate captors if they would permit him to stop by his house and tell his family what was going on, and they did. They searched him, made sure there were no weapons. They searched for money, as he was the county's treasurer. They didn't find any operating funds in the county, but King was able to hide some his wallet in some nearby bushes. His sister saw him do this, and after the Confederates had left, she retrieved the wallet and gave it to his wife, as the story goes. But the Confederates did allow Sheriff King to take his horse to Richmond, and the rest of the story is kind of clouded in the fog of history, but he was able to talk his way out of the situation, and they let him walk all the way back to Ripley from somewhere near Mercer County. And upon his return to town, there was a very spirited public demonstration, according to the Jackson Herald article, as Ripley residents showed their appreciation for the release and safe return of Sheriff King. And he would hold that office until 1868.
Wow. So capturing a sheriff from a local area, that's pretty interesting there. And they did release him. So did they say why that he got released?
He was just able to persuade them to get out, to let him go. And again, like I said, the fog of history, we don't know exactly.
So, Doug, we really appreciate it. We're going to take a short break, then we'll wrap things up with Doug Skeen. We're back with Doug Skeen, exploring the adventures of the Civil War in Ripley and Jackson County. So, Doug, let's continue.
John, as I said earlier, the Battle of Scary Creek, written by Terry Lowry, available at the Jackson County Public Library, is a great window into the Civil War era in Ripley. Again, three chapters of the book deal just with Ripley. Excellent reading. I highly recommend it to anybody. But also, our Jackson County Historical Society. There have been tremendous publications put together by the Historical Society over the years. Those are also available at the Jackson County Public Library. And as a young man, I would spend hours there in the library. Back in those days, they had what was called the West Virginia Room, and spent many, many hours going through publications of the local Historical Society. And John, I remember you did some artwork on one of those books,
yes,
a rendering of the first courthouse, I believe.
You're right, I remember that.
The Historical Society also has a very nice website, and I would encourage other people to check that out online. And also, Mr. Mike Rubin, the most multi-talented person I know. Mike is quite the historian, and he has compiled a great museum there at the Ripley Convention and Visitors Bureau office, located in the Harrison Holmes building, just off of Main Street in the corner of North Street. And so I would recommend you stop by. It'd be well worth your time.
Well, that's convenient. Right across from the library, you can learn a lot in just two short visits.
Absolutely.
So let's wrap things up with pertaining to one of the founders of Jackson County and how they were involved in the Civil War.
Well, Ephraim Evans was one of the early pioneers of Jackson County, played a big role in the formation of government here in the county. He had a son, Perry Evans. Perry was a student at VMI when the Civil War broke out, and his nickname was Big Evans. He was tall, but a very, very good student at VMI, but he was a Virginian, and he joined the Confederate Army at the outset of hostilities. He had two friends who were also Confederates, the Smith brothers, Addison Smith and Frederick Frelinghausen Smith, and they grew up on Gay Road on a large farm there. And they were from prominent families, but one of the Smith brothers did not survive the war, but Perry Evans did. But they didn't feel they could come home, and so they did not return to Jackson County. And Perry Evans went on to be a noted jurist and became a judge in the state of California. And I believe he actually ran for attorney general one time in the state of California and died there after the turn of the century. But he grew up there in Evans, just on the other side of the big turn, the farm that was there. It was known as the Hirschman Farm.
The one with the big pond over the hillside there, right?
Yes, and he went on to California and after the war.
Well, Doug, we certainly appreciate that. It's been very interesting. I know there's a lot of information that folks didn't know about the Civil War in the Ripley area and Jackson County. So like Doug said, if you wanted more information, the Jackson County Library, the Battle of Scary Creek, the book by Terry Lowry, and also the website and Facebook page of the Jackson County Historical Society. It's a great resource, along with the Convention Visitors Bureau, the mini museum of Ripley there at the corner of North and Church Street. Doug, we appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
In this segment, I speak with Mayor Rader about the upcoming Veterans Day Parade, plus the laser light show happening after the Ravenswood Ripley football game Friday night. So I'm sitting here with the most patriotic mayor in the United States in the most patriotic town, Moderator, what's going on with Veterans Day? That's coming up soon. But this Friday night, we have a special presentation at the Ripley Ravenswood game.
We do, and we have a great opportunity to share with the people in Ripley. This is a first, and I think this city council and this, we love doing the first for the people in Ripley. And this Friday night, after the Ravenswood Ripley game, people will be given plenty of time to leave the bleachers safely. And then they'll be asked to stay as the lights go off on this at the football field, and we will have our first laser show. Of the 24-minute program, the first 12 minutes will be about and commemorating the 100 years of Ripley High School football. The second part of our laser show will be about our Veterans Day parade and the patriotism that we so proudly show in our city, which leads us to the Veterans Day Parade on Monday. Right now, we have probably close to 600 veterans, if not more, who will have their name read out loud. And truly, Councilman, it takes the whole community to put this together. Yes, this office looks like a cyclone hit it with all the banners, but I have reached out to the three bands. We have the West Virginia Air National Guard Band, 249th Band will be here. We have our very own Pride of Jackson County, the Viking Band, and then we have the Ravenswood Band has graciously volunteered to come. We have one of our very own people, a retired Lieutenant Colonel of the United States Army, as our parade marshal, and it's Heather Zuniga. Very proud of the fact that she will be our grand parade marshal as well as our speaker on the courthouse lawn. So it's the Sons of the American Revolution is one of our color guard units. We, of course, have the Riderless Horse. We just have a great event planned for Monday. It kicks off at 10 o'clock. And I might add, the best place to watch it is from Geno's to the corner in front of the City Hall block. Then when you make a left-hand turn as the parade turns left onto Main Street, the best viewing area is the post office block, because then some veterans will leave the parade and be seated on the courthouse lawn at the memorial in order to enjoy the 11 o'clock ceremony.
So, you know, the parade's being held in Ripley, but this is definitely a Jackson County event.
It has become more than Jackson County. It's, yes, we want everyone in Jackson County to attend. We have many, many veterans from all over the county. And we have had requests from Charleston. We've had requests. We have people in it from Parkersburg. We've had people as far away as California that they've heard their families know about our Veterans Day Parade and has called and asked us to make a poster for them. And we get to make a poster, and then we put them in the parade.
So what year did this start out?
I think it started in 2008.
And it's got nothing but bigger.
It has gotten bigger every year.
That's fantastic. So the opening, or not the opening ceremonies, but the Veterans Day ceremony on the courthouse lawn follows the parade. Can you tell us about that?
Right. We have, because of the commemoration of the 11th month, 11th day, the 11th hour, we try real hard to get that parade downtown by 11 o'clock. But in my mind, we are honoring veterans more than just that 11th hour. We're doing it the whole time so that this is the city's way of saying thank you. We try to get everyone downtown by 11 o'clock, and we will have our special speaker, Heather Zuniga, and then we'll have the Ripley High School Chorus under the direction of Annie Fisher, who will be doing a patriotic medley. And then we have some presentations where people have made quilts that they want to give to veterans. And we have a very, very, very special request by a young lady in our town whose son serves with the United States Rangers. And he was serving with one of his comrades in Afghanistan, and something terrible, terrible happened. And he survived, but Tina Cunningham is simply just asking for prayer, not asking for money. The United States government's going to take care of Staff Sergeant Ryan Davis, but she wants prayer because he's going to need it when he has lost his right arm, right leg, right hip, and right pelvic.
Oh, my.
And she's going to, she has a special banner for the parade, and she's going to make a statement also at the opening ceremony concerning just, he's not going to just need one prayer. He's right. going to have prayer for a long time from everybody to give him the strength and the courage to go on with this.
Absolutely.
That'd be pretty tough.
Yes.
So he's got a wife and a little boy who's standing behind him. And he is in San Antonio, and he's working. I've seen videos, and he's working very, very hard in order to be able to walk again, to be able to pitch a baseball, to be able to share his life with his sons.
Well, must be an incredibly strong man and family. Let's wish the best for that family and all our military families and all our military personnel, especially this coming Veterans Day. And here's the mayor with a summary of the events coming up. Ravenswood Ripley, fight for the hatchet.
Right.
And
right.
It starts at what time?
The game starts at 7:30.
And that is Memorial Stadium here in Ripley. And then following that will be the laser show.
The laser show first.
Well, that's... I'm really looking forward to that. So then on Monday at 10 o'clock,
right.
The parade begins, and the opening ceremony is at 11 on the courthouse lawn.
Right.
Mayor, we certainly appreciate it, and thanks to you and your staff, and we're definitely looking forward to it.
Thank you. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you for listening to Ripley 304 Podcast, Episode 12. This is John McGinley signing off.